again, we first studied a woman with her seed, and now the pair of balances that are suspended in the heavens. The balances signify the justice of God. And one side of the balance on the scale is the whole human race, but especially it's you. And the name of that side of the scale is eternally deficient. You've been found in the balance isn't found eternally wanting. And the other side of the balance is Christ, the one that covers or pays sufficiently or abundantly. Then what is the price of that payment? And that's told in this, the next two decans of the sign of Libra. First is the cross, and then the victim. And so, you know, we begin immediately to see this, the mystery of the cross. Right after the sea.
How is there a relationship to where they are as to the fact that they're associated with that particular sign?
Well, you gotta remember, you're looking at this is like the putting this on a flat map is like similar to putting the earth on a flat map. You can't do it. So this is just, they're approximately these areas, but yeah, there's some relationship in the crosses, you know, where the things are, but the more important relationships, which are almost impossible to see without seeing it, is what happens when these various signs pass through the planets and the sun. That's where the real story is told in the intimate details, and unfortunately we really have no way of seeing that, or unless we had a, someday we may get access. Now, the Hebrew name for the sign of the cross is an interesting one. It's Adam, A-D-O-M, as opposed to Adam, A-D-A-A-M. And Adam is man in Hebrew. Adam, or A-D-O-M, one vowel point off, is cut off, or final,
O wouldn't be the last vowel, would it?
Hmm?
O wouldn't be the last vowel.
O? Oh, I don't, no. But it's also called, the cross is also called Tau. And that's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And originally, the last letter was, at the time of Christ, the letter of the alphabet was a form of a cross, and it's Tau. As the language evolved, the crossbar got moved up on the vertical member, and then there's some other changes to it. But originally, it was the sign of a cross. Was at the time of Christ, the Hebrew language had Tau as the sign of a cross. Now, Tau means the boundary, the horizon. It's the limit. It's like if I looked at each letter. You understand in the Hebrew, each letter not only had a numerical equivalent, it also had a meaning. And so the letter for Tau. And by the way, when we go through that, if we ever get to it, we'll see that each letter as you hear what each letter of the Hebrew alphabet means, it also tells the story of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then it shows, we can show how the language was perverted, and slowly but surely we get everything else, just like everything else is perverted. Let's look at...
Let's go to Ezekiel 9.
Let's go to Ezekiel 9, the ninth chapter of the book of Ezekiel. He cried also in my... in order to understand Ezekiel 9, you have to understand Ezekiel 8. Ezekiel 8 is the high place walk through your mind. You remember?
Yeah. went in every creeping thing.
All the creeping, crawly things and the things that are written in. If there's a hole and you start digging and you find all the abominations, right?
Women weeping for Tammuz.
Women weeping in Tammuz. Worse. What?
Turn again and you'll see worse.
Turn again, you see worse. And you turn again and you see worse.
This always reminds me of the ranch.
It's because it was usually read to you at
ranch
the ranch.
Ranch apocalypse.
All right. In verse 18 of chapter 8 says, therefore will I also deal in my fury, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Now, who's he's talking to those who have continued to walk and be guided by the high place instead of by faith. You understand that? That's what the whole of chapter 8 is about. And he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. This is God talking. He's calling every man of the city to draw near, and he's telling them to come armed. You remember in Joel, we all know the one in Isaiah where it says it's the one that everybody, all the bleeding hearts repeat, and they beat their swords into plowshares and war. Right? They don't read Joel, it says, and they beat, God's commanding them to beat their plowshares into swords. And here, God is commanding them to pick up the sword. Now, you got to understand, God's only talking, he's only talking about a thing. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about people that name the name of God. You understand that? Can you hear that? If this doesn't give you a little bit of a fright, then it should. He's not talking about anybody outside the world. He's not talking about world problems or abortion or this or that. He's talking about those who have come and decided that they will name the name of God. And he says, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Now what's happening here is Ezekiel is seeing a vision. And he's seeing the vision of the last times of what is going on in this Jerusalem, this new Jerusalem, this arena, this place that believers have come to. They went in and stood by the brazen altar. You remember what the brazen altar is? Yeah, but it's the altar where all of the sacrifice, where you're cut up in little pieces and put on the altar, right? And the glory of the Lord of the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark. Now the mark that he's setting there, listen carefully, the mark that he's setting, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all of the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. The people that are in a state of repentance. He says to these are angels he's talking to, and he says, go through and set a mark on their forehead. And the mark, the word for, it's the tau. Set the towel on their forehead, the mark of the cross. You got it? Now what does your forehead signify? Your forehead signifies how you think. And if you do not have the mark of God in your forehead, it doesn't matter what your words say. It doesn't matter what, you can say all the right words and you've got to have the mark of God in your forehead. And the only ones that he's instructed, God has instructed the angel to set a mark only in the ones that are sighing and crying for the abominations that are done in the name of God. Can you understand that? And to the others he said in my hearing, go you after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, or better, it says destroy completely is a better, but it's slay utterly, old and young, maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary.
Does that mean, we're talking about the temple, right?
Right. That's why it says in Peter, judgment must first begin at the house of God. And if they scarcely be saved. That's why you can't walk the walk without the fear of God. I mean, that's been the theme of the morning Bible studies lately. You know, without the fear of God, there's nothing. Mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house, before the temple. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? And then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth us not. The Lord is impotent.
This pretty well that he, you know,
I had to
sit and watch everyone slaying themselves.
Well, he didn't.
I mean,
everyone didn't have a mark.
Yeah, well, I know, but.
Yeah. And do you think he repented?
He fell on his face pretty fast.
Give me the mark. Give me the mark.
The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth us not, or seeth not. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, a man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me.
Who's the guy with the inkhorn? That's Ezekiel?
Christ. No, the inkhorn, probably, I'm sure, I mean, the guy with the inkhorn has to be the Holy Spirit. I mean, we don't know for sure, but that would be my guess. Now, remember, this is a vision of Ezekiel. And it's the only way that God had to show Ezekiel and to show us what is going on in time. This, it looks like it happened, boom, at one time. But spiritually, this is happening from the beginning of time to the end of time. And everyone, and all that God did in order that Ezekiel might know the fear of God and somehow communicate the fear of God, is he speeded up time so that it looked like everything was happening on one day. Can you hear that? Okay, let's go to see if we can see something else about the mark. Remember, this is the mark that's in the lowest part of the heavens. It's the mark that has been seen from the beginning of Adam until just as Christ was crucified, its top star left the 36th longitude, the longitude of Jerusalem. And so now it's continued to sink lower and lower in the heavens. There was a time, it's like, The way because of the sidereal and the precession of the equinox and all of these weird astronomical things, the ancients say that you can only see the cross once every 1,000 years. where you physically see the cross in Jerusalem.
So since that time, it's only the people that see the abominations and cry for that.
That's right.
That have marked.
Let's go to Revelation 13. When you start the sighing process, when you start repentance, it's imperative that you all see, and that's everything about the cross is repentance. We're going to see that the ancient Persians, the ancient Mexicans, had ceremonies of the cross. We're going to see the ancient Egyptians worship the cross. But they twisted it, and they universally twisted it. They made the cross the symbol of life. What do you call it? What's
American
Indian? It's right at the tip of my tongue.
And cage.
Yeah, it's the cross with the little circle on top. The ankh. It's the symbol of life, and it was perverted all the way back before Christ, instead of the symbol of death. But even in the Egyptian, if you ever get bored and don't have anything to do, read the Egyptian Book of the Dead. This is the kind of thing that
Crystal
will do.
Who wrote it? Just a little joke.
I did.
Revelation 13.
A dead guy.
This thing about speeding time up so that it would look like it looked to Ezekiel. I mean, this whole thing about understanding that all men die at the same time, that all men died at the cross, that when you step out of time to no time, it's the same moment. I can almost physically feel time speeding up.
Can you understand that you can't understand this book at all unless you step out of time? I mean, you can see how people get so screwed up. It's written from out of time. It can only be understood from out of time.
It's almost like it can only be understood by a believer.
It can only be understood by a believer looking through the eyes of the cross.
I mean, so really this book is...
Yeah, people try to make it this great history book or science book or sociology book or something. It's none of those things. All right. And I stood upon... We're going to read a lot here that... I just like Revelation, so we're going to... Normally, we just have to read one or two verses here, but we're going to read the whole thing. And I stood upon the sand of the sea... And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Does anybody doubt who that is? Or what that is? Do you think this is something other than you? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is you. And you have these different heads, right? There's only one that's Christ, but this other one, every time you cut his head off, he resurrects himself. You remember in the myth? The seven crowns, I mean the ten crowns, are the ten sorceries of Egypt, one of which is language.
The way at least for the ten heads is that you cut off.
It's you.
No, I mean the name of the Hydra.
Oh, the Hydra, yeah. We're going to see the Hydra and the stars here in a minute.
Wait a minute. The seven heads, ten horns. One of the ten horns is language?
Yeah. No, one of the ten crowns. Yeah.
On the horn is language.
And each, and then there's, but there's that, on each of those seven heads is ten crowns. So there's 70.
There's 70 horns.
Look.
70 crowns?
Yeah.
The number of the nations.
It's the number of the nations. So each man is all men.
And then isn't that infinity too? 70 times 70? Is that?
No, but 70 is the number of the nations
Okay, let's start again. I saw upon the sand of the sea, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns ten crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority.
They would have understood this at the time, wouldn't they?
That's right.
This would have been like automatic. Okay, you're setting up the story.
Yeah, because it's it's all in here.
Yeah, jeez.
Because each one is a one is an emblem,
and each one is a cardinal point of the compass also. Yeah. And each one represents one of the staffs of the house of Israel. So all of this would have been readily understood by the people that read this.
So they talk about unlocking the mysteries of Revelation. It's crap.
Let's go back to find out what it was. Okay, and this guy, this thing, had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause it that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Huh? No, I'm that was verse 15. And he causeth, this is where we want to come to. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. It's not. This isn't the Tau. This isn't the mark of Ezekiel 9. This is a different mark. Listen, he causeth all, excluding no one, both small and great, tall and short, Germans, Norwegians, skinny and fat, all. Old and young, little and
littler.
He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, it's not a great mystery. We don't have to go searching. The mark that's in the forehead or on the hand is the mark of cause and effect. It's the Whore of Babylon. And it's the forehead of cause and effect, and the hand of cause and effect. That's the mark of the beast. It isn't anything great. That's the only thing that the whole world and all have. Don't you understand? But no, but it's so endemic that not even the religious scholars understand it, because they couldn't believe that the beast is them. I've met the beast and he is me. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, or the number of man, better translated, and his number is 666. 666. 666. Cause and effect. Whore of Babylon. Mark of the beast.
So if 666, if the numbers have letters that they're assigned to, what would be the letters of 666?
What's the Hebrew?
Yeah.
Well, I don't. We'll have to. I mean, that's real esoteric, but we can get to it.
He talked about six in the alphabet means something, and seven means something.
Well, six. Yeah, six is the number of man. And 666 is the number of man trying to be as best as he can.
Yeah.
Seven is the number of rest. But rest isn't the end. Rest is only what is necessary so you can get to eight. And eight is the resurrection, the eighth day. Now, I didn't make this stuff up, by the way. I mean, I know it sounds like... But it's funny, like... It was either this morning or yesterday. Beth came and knocked on the door. Beth comes and knocks on the door. Actually, it's never Beth that knocks on the door. She sends Elizabeth up, but Elizabeth knocks on the door. And Beth says, I've been talking to my brother. And I've been telling him about the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the graces. And he was captivated by it. And... he wanted to know where you got that. I said, do you have a book I can give him? And I gave her this sick look. I said, Beth, there's about 100 or 1,000 of those kinds of things that I dug out of the scriptures. You know, I don't have any books. I don't have any place to reference it. Only thing you can ask him to do is to search the scriptures to see if things these things be so. So, I mean, that's such a sinking feeling not to have a book, you know.
Or it's an easier way to find out for someone else instead of having to
look
all
that
up. It's a shortcut.
Yeah, and if it's in a book, then okay, it's true.
What can I say?
I read it in a book.
Okay, that's the number of the beast. You got it? You don't want that number. You don't want that mark.
Bad mark.
Now, let's see if we can go to the good mark. Okay, Revelation 14. But let's go back up. Yeah, I know. But let's go back up a little ways just to get this back in perspective. You remember all small and great have this other mark. You have the mark. The mark of the beast, 666. That's why you must go to the cross. You must die. Because you can't improve. Well, the best you can do is get to 666667. You can never get to rest. You can never make it to 7. All men have the mark of the beast. Therefore, your only hope is the cross. Your only hope is your death on the cross, your right to yourself. That's why the cross only can be preached, and that's the story the stars tell. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? I'm serious. You gotta let this dwell in you. The beast is your mind. It cannot improve. It cannot get it right. It is never your friend. It is never going to do anything good for you. It never has. It never will.
No matter how hard you try.
It can never get it right. It's always going to put you in a position of convincing you're alone. It's always going to convince you you're separate from God, separate from life, and that something is required. Why do you believe the son of a bitch? We have to go back to Revelation 13, verse 3. The beast I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were the feet of a bear. His mouth the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. You know, again, Jesus Christ overcame the seed. He bruised his head. The word bruised means to overcome, to wound, to death. Satan's dead. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. This isn't, they didn't shoot Kennedy in the head, and they're keeping him in a vault somewhere, and then he's going to become.
I read it in the paper.
No, it's not a vault, it's a hyper.
Yeah, I read that in the paper.
Which while is here, we're saying that he was wounded to death, and then goes on to say that. Mark.
Because of these illusions.
Yeah.
The dances.
If he's dead, then Mark can get him.
And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the heaven. Blaspheme means what? Remember, it's a technical term.
What?
Lord.
No, blasphemy is a technical term in Hebrew, and in the law it means to deny the foundation. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Does that sound familiar? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who's worship? Everybody in the universe worships him because he's him himself, self for self. Can you hear me? That's the only possible, there's no other possible explanation unless you believe in fairy tales. And yet, why isn't this taught anywhere? It's what the stars say. Why, I mean, and all that elect dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If a man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, if you have any intellectual honesty, verse 10 is the most screwy verse in the Bible. One of the top 10 anyway, right? Anybody want to tell me what it means?
Yeah, out of the sword part. You're killing with the sword, the word is going up front of
the right. I mean, but... You're I know, but I mean...
You're dealing with violence?
Yeah, but he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. It's a non sequitur by any mind. There's no possibility for the mind of man to understand that scripture. Unless.
I can try.
I got a little piece right
there. I think that's why the blasphemy is so blaspheming God, and basically you're saying. I mean, what that's saying.
Amen. But let's, fortunately, verse chapter 14 defines what that verse 10 means. Do you remember that? It says, here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now go to chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Ha ha! Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This is something we better look into. Here's the patience of the saints, here's the keeping of the commandments, and here's the faith. This is something we better look into. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
So what 10 means is the thing that makes it possible for the saints to have patience, and the definition of their faith is that they don't have to do anything. It's automatic.
That's right. But let's go to Revelation 22 just for a minute, see if we can get a little. It says, he that leadeth him in captivity shall go into captivity, he that killeth the sword shall go in, and blah, 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 blah. Chapter 22, verse 10, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy. Getting a little feel for what maybe this means? Now go to Isaiah chapter 40 or 29 or something like that. That's close.
Isaiah 42.
Isaiah 42. Remember we just said, he that is unjust, let him be unjust. He that is filthy, let him be filthy. He that is this, let him be that. Okay, you got a feel for it? Now, watch. In verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles wait for his law. Do you understand? Take all those scriptures we've just read and put them in your understanding. You don't have anything to do.
Don't need to save the world.
Just wait for the end of the law. Mm-hmm.
And look up and see the cross. Except we have to see. That's why the northern hemisphere is lying in darkness. We are in the famine of Amos. That we are in the famine of Messiah. Remember that? What it says? There's a famine in your land, but not of bread. It's the famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. Yet you say, I am with you, but lo, I am not. For I have long since fled the staleness and hypocrisy of your structures. And like the wind, I blew past your ways and your systems. For I will not be bound by the ways of the fallen creature. Learn from this and become wise in the wisdom from above. Okay, so we got, and now we got to go back to Revelation 14. Something you want to correct? Something you want to fix? Chapter 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell in the earth, on the earth. And to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she had made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. A third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, but worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. That's why death is your only escape. Here is then the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Christ. And I heard a voice saying from heaven, saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Isn't it time that your works follow you instead of leave you? Do you understand how massive that is? If the works follow you, you never once have to be in a state of anything other than perfect peace. You're just sort of hanging around. You're just moving through time. No even consciousness of yourself. Now give me some righteous worry now, a righteous concern. Got one, Harry?
No, but the thing about the works following you is what I saw in the morning Bible study a few days ago about when Christ said, I can of mine own self do nothing. That which I see the Father do, I do. It was like he was sitting back and he would see his hand reach out and do something. But he didn't bring himself forward and say, I'm doing this. He was back here and said, I see the Father do it.
That's right.
The same darn thing.
Amen. All right. Now the decan of the constellation or of the cross only contains five stars. Only one is of the first magnitude, the brightest one that's in the lower part of the star. I mean of the cross. And the four brightest stars make the sign of the cross. The figure is now in the darkest part of the heavens. It is in the very lowest part of the sphere. Not visible to us now in the northern hemisphere. One of the interesting things about the cross is it stands perpendicular only at midnight. And it leans one way before and the other after. So throughout the southern hemisphere, they can tell the time by looking at the southern cross.
And there's a scripture about I come at midnight or something.
There's a whole bunch of, remember what we do? And it came to pass at midnight. Remember at Passover?
Well, it's neither here nor there.
Yeah. It's a timepiece for the navigators. An ancient, middle-aged, 1600 writer, Humboldt says, quote, how often have we heard our guides exclaim in the savannas of Venezuela, of the deserts of Lima. Midnight is past. The cross begins to bend. The cross was just visible in Jerusalem at the time of Christ. Since then, it gradually disappeared when the real sacrifice was offered there. And Dante sang of the four stars never beheld but by the early race of man. Dante's Inferno. It's also in Shakespeare. But I don't have that translated. It was not until the 16th century when voyagers and missionaries going around the Cape for the first time brought back to Europe news of a wonderful cross more glorious than all the stars of the heavens. And it became a huge news. That's what prompted Masoreth to be written. And that's what prompted all of these intense interest in the stars in the 17th and 18th centuries.
It's like this thing had been rediscovered.
They rediscovered the cross and boom! All over the Christians, all over the world, begin to study the constellations. So maybe we can be instrumental of having it explode again. Long before the time of the Christian era, the sign of the cross had lost its true meaning and had been perverted in Babylon, Egypt, Persia, from its early origins as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The scriptures kept The reason the scriptures are so important is the scriptures kept the integrity of the revelation from the pre-Noachian flood revelation from the hand of God. The revelation was given to all men, but it slowly denigrated and became an instrument of self-seeking or king-seeking or nation-seeking instead of a revelation of the true God. For whatever reason, the Hebrews remained true. It is found in the religions, signs, edifices, and feasts of the ancient Egyptians, Persians, Assyrians, Hindus, Chinese, Russians, Mexicans, Peruvians, Mayans, Scandinavians, Gauls, Celts. All of them have the cross. In ancient Egypt, three gods hold the sacred Tau, or cross, as a symbol of life. The middle one, as the sun, extends the cross, expressing the offering of a life, an immortality through the cross. And they're all over in the this, that image of the three with the one in the middle is all over the ancient Egyptians. In the Brahmic triad, again the second sun, the one who becomes incarnate in the man-god Krishna sits upon his throne in the lotus position, holding the cross in his right hand. He is the god of deliverance from dangers and serpents, and he always wears a cross on his breast in the Hindu religion. Krishna. Go, you can see it. Go over here to the temple. Right off,
yeah.
What is that? Right off our beacon.
Lindell.
Yeah, Lindell. The ancient Egyptians pictured departed spirits as birds with human heads, indicating the laying off of the earthly form and the putting on of immortality. I get that wrong. It's humans with bird heads. All those figures are represented as holding the cross. If you ever look at Egyptian hieroglyphics and you see one of these beings with a body of a man and the head of a bird, every single one of them is holding the cross. Don't you think this is a little strange? To them, it was emblematic of eternal life.
They've got that cross also that has the...
That's the Ankh. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. That, again, the ancient memory, again, passed on through what we said of Enoch, that somehow eternal life was connected to the cross, but they got it all screwed up. They forgot that the cross meant death.
That one little piece.
Just missed it by that much. The ancient Mayan and Mexicans, at certain of their feasts, made a cross composed of the flour of maize and the blood of the victim offered in sacrifice. And then they worshiped this cross. Once it was worshiped, they broke it in pieces and distributed the fragments and ate them as a token of union and brotherhood. But the problem was, the one they slayed, they killed to get the blood for the cross that they all ate. Again, they missed it just a little bit. But isn't it wild that the Mayans and the Mexicans and another continent use the cross as the main symbol of their religion? The Egyptians and others also had the sacred cake with the form of a cross marked on it, which they ate in holy worship. That's their communion with the gods. In Persia, the cakes made and eaten in honor of the Queen of Heaven had a cross marked on them. And in Catholicism today, the little cakes eaten on Good Friday are thus stamped. All are and were ignorant of what it means to eat that and to partake of the cross, to eat the bread and drink the wine. They're ignorant of that one simple three-word sentence. It is finished. It was finished from before the foundation of the world. And when you see that, it will totally destroy your attempts at self-deity. In all of these other religions where the cross is used, there's no other symbol in all of the possible symbols that you can have that's used more universally than the symbol of the cross in religious rites. But in all of them, it became a totem or a symbol of life. You know, it's what people wear around their necks. How many of you have crosses around your necks? Well, why don't you wear a little electric chair around your neck? But you see, it became a symbol of life instead of death. And you miss the mystery that is finished. Because if it's a symbol of life, then all it does is put God's name on your idolatry. For us now, natural life is given up. That's what it means to be a believer. We give up this life. We give up the right to ourselves in this life by accepting the cross, by accepting that death. Because we know the procured atonement, the finished, perfect, and complete, never to be repeated, never to be added to. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it so that men might fear him. Is this interesting to anybody?
Yeah.
Anybody anything to add or subtract or...